Please stand with me this morning for the reading of the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read verses 17 through 20 this morning. And we'll read these responsively this morning. I'll read verse 17, we'll read 18 together. I'll read 19, and we will read 20 together. Matthew chapter 5. 17 through 20, and say amen when you found that scripture this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." You may be seated.
This morning's message is entitled, One Jot. One Jot, J-O-T. Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, did not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill the law. And he said, till heaven and earth pass away, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. A jot is the tenth letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and it is also the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. What Jesus Christ was saying is that not even the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet is going to fall away or pass away or be removed from the law until the law is fulfilled. Not until the heaven and earth pass away, not until the end time. What God is saying is that His word is sure, and that His word will stand, and that every word in His book is important, even the jots. Jesus, the Son of God, tells us here in Matthew chapter 5, He has not come to earth to destroy the law or to do away with it, but to fulfill it, which leads to the question, what has yet to be fulfilled? If you'll turn back to Matthew chapter 24, a couple of chapters back, in verse number 27. "For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Jesus Christ is coming again. He's going to come back in the clouds and rapture us, the church, those who believe, out of here before verse 36. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left." Imagine two people working out in the field. Imagine working out in the field with somebody else. Let's say you're just out in the middle of the field and it's a good, fair walk to get out of there. You're talking to George 1 minute and you turn around and George is no longer there. Two women, it says, shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two people will be working in a mill, making corn, meal, Someone's going to ask for the other person to pass them a tool, and they're not there. Watch, therefore, verse 42, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. The rapture has not yet happened. And that is when Jesus will come in the clouds and call away his people, those who have chosen to put their faith in him and accept him as their God and Savior. They get pulled out of here before the wrath of God is poured out on the world for the sins of the ages. Those who believe in God and have accepted Jesus Christ do not have to take part in that time of tribulation, a time of devastation, suffering, and pain such as the world has never seen. This will be fulfilled. It is part of the law and the prophets. Will you still be here, or will Jesus take you with him when he comes in the clouds for his own? The law says that your sin must be paid for. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages, the payment of your sin is death. Your body may go to the grave, but your soul will live forever, and there are only two places that your soul will end up. Look at Luke chapter 16. Matthew, Mark, Luke in the New Testament. Verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen. He wore the name brands and fared sumptuously every day. What's that little yellow box truck that goes by and delivers food to homes? He had Swan's Delivery. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. He had a big enough property, they have a gate in front of it. This man, Lazarus, verse 21, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Lazarus didn't have health insurance. He wasn't able to go to the doctor. Verse 22, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Lazarus was asking for crumbs in this life, and the rich man was asking for drops in the next. Verse 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Let me just stop and say the reason why Lazarus was there in paradise and in Abraham's bosom was because he was saved and had believed in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to come. He had believed in God the Father. And it was by faith that Lazarus ended up in heaven where he ended up. And it was a lack of faith that the rich man ended up where he ended up. Lazarus didn't end up in paradise because he was poor. And the rich man didn't end up in hell because he was rich. There's a lot of rich men in paradise and poor people in hell. It doesn't matter how big your pocketbook is or how much money you don't have. What matters is, what's your faith bank account life like? Do you have faith and belief in God and in Jesus Christ? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ shed blood on the cross? That's what matters. Amen. Verse 26, and besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. You know, hell, which is in the center of the earth, was next to paradise up until the cross, and there was a gulf in between them. And those who by faith believed in the Messiah to come and believed in God, when they died, went to the holding place of paradise until the cross and the ultimate sacrifice would pay for their sins. And those who didn't believe went to hell to burn. In paradise, Adam has been looking over and seeing Cain since the beginning. Can you imagine Eve looking over there and seeing Cain, her son, in torments and wanting to take him just a drop of water? But she can't. Imagine those who wanted to escape out of hell and get over into paradise. But they can't because it's too late then. It's too late to choose God when you're dead. You need to choose Him now while you're alive, while there's still a chance. Verse 27, then the rich man, and one thing you'll notice the rich man never says is, I'm innocent. He knows his guilt. Verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Send Lazarus to my father's house, he says. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And notice, the rich man didn't ask for him to be released from hell to tell them. He knew he was there forever. But he asked if Lazarus could leave paradise and go for him. 29, Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. My question for you this morning is, what is it going to take to persuade you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you will not believe on Him, repent of your sins, and turn to God while hearing the preaching of the Word of God this morning, if you will not call upon Him and ask Him to save you after hearing the prophets preach this morning, then your heart is so hard that even if one of your relatives who ended up in hell were to come to you and beg you to turn to God this morning, you would scream, no. And that is the same word you will be screaming for all eternity when you wake up in hell next to that rich man and realize he was right. There is a hell. There is a judgment for your sins and you refuse to escape it. No! Is the word millions are crying out this very minute in the flames of hell because they sat where you sit this morning in a church pew and they heard what you're hearing now and they closed their heart just like you are and they will regret it for the rest of eternity. Don't let the fact that people think you're saved keep you from getting saved. There's some people sitting in the pews this morning who everyone thinks you're saved, and so you're embarrassed to come down here and really get saved, but you're going to wish you'd gotten saved when you die and go to hell. A little embarrassment is not worth flames. One jot will not pass from the law until all is fulfilled. One jot will not pass from the law. No, not until heaven and earth pass away. And one day they will. We'll be reading from Revelation chapter 20 and verse 9. Verse 7. It's about the last battle between God and Satan. This has not yet been fulfilled, but it will. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That will be fulfilled. This is the second death. Not one jot shall pass away from the law until all is fulfilled. God's word will be fulfilled. It will be completed. And you have to decide whether you're going to spend eternity with the rich man in the lake of fire for all eternity, or if you're going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ and God the Father in heaven for all eternity. Don't harden your heart. Don't turn from God. Turn to God. Amen. He is waiting for you. He is calling to you right now. Answer the call. Answer the call. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," that's Jesus Christ, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This morning, if you're trusting in the fact that Mama says you got saved when you were little, but you don't remember, you need to remember. This morning, if you're trusting in baptism as the fact that you are going to heaven, baptism doesn't save you. It's just a testimony of the fact that you are saved. This morning, maybe people have been treating you like you are saved, and you just feel a little embarrassed to come forward and actually get saved. Let me just say, nobody here would be upset about you getting saved. Whether you're a church worker or a director here in the church, it doesn't matter. We would be rejoicing and excited. I want you to stop and ask yourself this question. When did I bow my head and pray in my heart and ask God to take me to heaven? When did I get saved? Think about it. Do you know when you got saved? Where were you? Did you ask God to forgive for your sins and come in your heart? And has there been a change in your life since you've done that? if you don't have a time or a place, and you can't remember whether you got saved, that's not something you want to guess about. You need to know. If Jesus Christ comes back after this invitation is done, and the trumpet sounds as soon as the piano stops playing, and everyone in the church who believes gets raptured and taken to heaven, will you still be sitting here? It's a scary place to be. Don't you want to go to heaven and be with God? Heads bowed and eyes closed. How many of you would say, Pastor Rines, I remember the place, maybe the time. I know that I know that I know. I have believed in God. I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And if the building fell in and we all died right now, I'm 100% sure I would go to heaven. No one looking around. Would you raise your hand? I'm 100% sure. Amen. Put your hands down. How many would say, Pastor Rines, I don't remember a time, I don't remember a place. And also, it's not something I want to guess about, salvation. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to make today the time and right now the place. Would you raise your hand? God is calling. Don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. He wants you to come to heaven. He died to forgive your sins. Don't let a little embarrassment send you to hell.